Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Northwest Major Emergency Management Interagency Group is urging people to stay home and stay safe. The joint statement's been issued this afternoon by Gardaí, Donegal County Council and the HSE. Four people staying at mandatory quarantine hotels have tested positive for COVID-19 so far. It's out of around 150 residents who've been tested since the system came in a week ago. Meanwhile, the Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, has expressed scepticism about plans to extend the number of countries on the quarantine list. The health minister says the figures being given to the government by vaccine providers are changing on an almost daily basis. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. Well, the Northwest Major Emergency Management Agency Group is urging people to stay home and stay safe this Easter. As the holiday weekend approaches, Gardaí, Donegal County Council and the HSE have issued a joint statement urging the people of Donegal to hold firm for a little longer. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn chairs the interagency group. She's urging people to keep following the public health guidelines, saying the best way of keeping safe is to stay home. She says high visibility checkpoints will continue throughout the region, including patrols at local amenity sites. Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, John McLaughlin, is urging people not to visit other households over Easter. He acknowledges people have become wary of the impact of restrictions, but says the priority must be to protect others, particularly vulnerable people and frontline workers. That's been echoed by Dr. Anthony Breslin, the HSE's Director of Public Health in the Northwest. He says as cases of COVID decrease, it's more important than ever that people limit the number of contacts they have with others. The statement finishes by asking anyone who needs help to contact the COVID-19 Donegal Community Helpline at 1-800-928-982.
Well, Ireland is set to roll out rapid antigen COVID testing. A group in the Department of Health has recommended Ireland set up pilot programmes in settings such as workplaces and schools. While antigen testing has been used for months in many countries, it's only recently been approved in the EU. The hope is that the new tests will help officials identify COVID cases faster, allowing outbreaks to be quickly suppressed. Four people staying at mandatory quarantine hotels have tested positive for COVID-19 so far. It's out of around 150 residents who've been tested since the system came in last Friday. Just under 180 staff have also been tested, but all of the results were negative. Meanwhile, the government is divided over proposals to extend the number of countries on the quarantine list. So far, 33 countries are on the list, but 43 more could soon be added, including America, Italy, Germany and France. On today's 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes, Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney was sceptical about the idea.
So if you take France, for example, there's 20,000 Irish people living in France. Many of them would come home from the summer. Lots of them are students and so on, that at the end of the term will need to come home. Is it reasonable if those people have tested negative, if some of those people have been vaccinated, if some of those people have had COVID and have recovered and have tested negative, is it reasonable to put those people for 2 weeks in a hotel if they have a home to go to where they could be quarantined?
And is that your opinion or a question? That's your opinion, though. It's not a question.
Well, no, that's a question. That's a question.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I don't believe we should move ahead with adding a significant number, particularly countries that have very large numbers of Irish citizens in, because don't forget, this is not primarily about non-Irish people coming to Ireland on their holidays or for something else. This is primarily about Irish people coming home.
And that was the Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 to noon show. That full clip would be available on our website, highlandradio.com. No additional COVID-related deaths have been recorded north of the border, with a further 107 cases of COVID-19 confirmed there this afternoon. Well, the World Health Organization says Europe's vaccine rollout is unacceptably slow, with COVID cases rising in every age group except the over 80s. Spain's Madrid region is facing criticism from the national government for closing its vaccination centres for 4 days to give staff an Easter break. Today, France's parliament is voting on new lockdown measures, while parts of Germany and Austria are also tightening restrictions. Well, here the health minister says the figures being given to the government by vaccine providers are changing on an almost daily basis. Stephen Donnelly was responding to Dáil criticism about figures he'd presented to his party about targets for this month. The minister said this morning in the Dáil around 1 million doses would arrive in April, but refused to give an exact figure. Stephen Donnelly says this is because the numbers are constantly changing.
Giving forecast figures that we know are going to change causes anxiety, because your party colleague last night on television was outraged and used all sorts of very negative commentary about the national vaccine programme, because guess what? The figure had changed. We're saying repeatedly the figures we're being given by the pharmaceutical companies are changing, sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis.
Other news, and Donegal County Council has published the tender for the Muff part of the Derry Muff Greenway. The 2.3 kilometre section of an overall route of 10 kilometres will be delivered with the support of the Cross-Border Northwest Greenway Network. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
The works will include segregated infrastructure, the widening of existing footpaths, new and upgraded lighting, landscaping, drainage works and the provision of bicycle parking facilities at Muff Community Park. Funding has been provided by Interreg, with match funding from Dublin and Stormont. The route is part of 46.5 kilometres being developed by Donegal County Council in conjunction with the lead partner Derry City and Strabane District Council. With work on the Lifford-Strabane section nearing completion and the planning application for the bridge end to Buncrana section of the Buncrana Derry Greenway due to be launched later this year, Donegal County Council, in conjunction with Derry City and Strabane District Council, is taking a significant step to improving cross-border green infrastructure. Details on the Northwest Greenway Network are available on nwgreenway.com.
Well, this comes as a Foyle MLA expresses concern for the future of the project on the Derry site. After it emerged, there's been a delay in granting planning permission there. Martina Anderson has written to the Chief Executive of Derry City and Strabane District Council after the Council's Planning Committee decided to defer the final planning decision on the Greenway until after a site visit is undertaken. Martina Anderson fears any delay now could have implications for the drawing down of funding.
I think it demonstrates an unacceptable short-sightedness, given the implications that it could have in drawing down multi-million pound funding for the Greenway. As a former MEP, I know if you don't use European money, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So, and given that, for instance, in the Derry side of it, this is probably the last tranche of EU funding that we will ever receive because of Brexit, apart from peace and Interreg funding.
We know that Donegal County Council is hoping to start construction on the Muff side of this project in the late summer. You would have been hoping, I'm sure, that at the same time work could start on the Derry side as well. Could that still happen? Is it your belief that once this is resolved, we can move quickly after that process has gone through?
Given the immense urgency, I undertook to write to the Chief Executive, because, and I underlined to him the importance of tabling the issue again at the next planning meeting on the 12th of April, because that then gives everyone time to make sure that this is a collaboration between Derry and Donegal. Like, we cannot talk to everyone outside the region about the Northwest City region and the possibilities that we have when we work collectively together, and then for something like this to happen, it is a complete contradiction that what we want to do in Derry and Donegal is to present the region, the Northwest region, to market it in all of its glory, and this project in terms of the Muff Greenway project, I think, is a great initiative.
And that was Martina Anderson there. The Donegal Local Development Company has acknowledged the publication of the government's rural development strategy, welcoming the ambition of the policy announcement and its potential for Donegal. CEO Padraig Fingledon says local development companies such as DLDC have been pillars of rural development for over 30 years, and he believes they're well placed to work with government to ensure that the aims of our future rural strategy are realised. In particular, he says, the planned creation of local master plans to meet the long-term needs of rural areas will prove very important.
We deliver a lot of rural and community development programmes in the county. You know, to see this increased investment now for the next 5 years, in particular as we're coming out of the COVID crisis, and there's in some ways a new way of living and working. I suppose our approach is very much led by the community, supporting and enabling those communities, in particular the leaders in communities and those committees of those development organisations. And these local master plans are just a way of bringing communities together, seeing what they have, maybe what they don't have, and then putting a plan in place around, I suppose, addressing those gaps. And in a lot of ways, it's around amenities that are there within the town. So when funding opportunities come along, and they will come along through LEADER and other programs, towns and villages and so on, that our communities are ready to apply for the money and secure it for the community.
Sometimes we hear claims from groups that there's an inordinate amount of red tape and bureaucracy involved. I mean, I'm sure you'd like to see a situation where the funding process and the application process is as streamlined as possible, so you can get to as many communities as possible with as little hassle per se as possible.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Donal, and it's a barrier and a necessary barrier for communities. And I suppose our own company, through the network of development companies, have been working with the minister and her officials over the last number of months, looking at ways to reduce, in particular with the LEADER program that we deliver, reducing the paperwork there. So it's something that the department, in fairness, are very conscious of, and are looking to reduce that workload for the groups.
Pádraic Finglan there. He's the chief executive of the Donegal Local Development Company. Remelton is set to benefit significantly from this year's Built Heritage Investment Scheme. A number of projects have secured funding in the town, including the Bottling Store, Fort Stewart, Guildhall and a house on the Back Lane. A total of 11 projects across the county will share €72,000 under the scheme. A Donegal deputy says legal uncertainties still remain in relation to last week's revelations that the Department of Health has been building secret dossiers on children with autism. The Data Protection Commissioner has begun a statutory inquiry into the allegations. It acted on its own initiative to establish the inquiry after submitting questions to the department on foot of last week's RTE Investigates report. In the Dáil today, Donegal deputy Piers Doherty pressed the Taoiseach on a number of questions in relation to the issue.
Is this practice, which the Department of Health believes a standard practice, does it also apply to families who took other cases, for example, other health-related cases against the state? Is the Department of Health also gathering information on them? And finally, will the report be published that was commissioned last year today, as has been requested by the Health Committee? And do you have any comment that that report didn't see the legal advice in relation to the legality of asking for this information without the consent of families or parents?
But responding, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said sometimes it is typical practice to obtain information that's necessary to protect the public interest.
From time to time, a person or their representative may initiate litigation where they feel the service or supports do not fully meet their needs. It is typical practice for defendants of this type of litigation to gather and maintain appropriate information in order to obtain legal advice or defend proceedings. That's necessary to protect the public interest and is standard practice in the management of litigation. Litigation of this nature is often difficult and can contain sensitive information that can be typical of these cases, which may be distressing when it involves very difficult situations and vulnerable people, especially children.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 14 minutes past five. Time to say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. The GAA have called upon all county and club teams to uphold the integrity of the association. Along with the Gardaí, they're investigating reports of a training session involving members of the Dublin Football Panel. Among the players pictured at the Enniskillen GAA club were Footballer of the Year Brian Fenton, Johnny Cooper and Brian Howard. If they've been found guilty of a breach of public health guidelines, they could be hit with a fixed payment notice. The GAA said they're extremely disappointed and frustrated by the incident and could hand out punishments of their own. Former Donegal star Brendan Devaney isn't surprised by the reports this morning.
I suppose not, Oisín. We've heard a lot about it before. Listen, it's a very strange one at the minute. The fact that the GAA, the county teams, were taken off the elite status, and you've got, you know, other games going on. I mean, if you look at Soccer League of Ireland and that, a lot of people say surely the GAA is more elite than that. You know, the fact that the window has been open for training shortly, of course all county teams being at the level they're at want to get back, and everyone's worried about, you know, maybe falling behind another county, such as the rivalism and such as the elite nature of it, that we had an idea that teams were starting to come back, maybe in small groups, training now. If you don't like the GAA or you're not a fan of the GAA, of course you're going to look at this and say, here, look at all the sacrifices we're giving up here. Here's the GAA again, disobeying the rules. So it's certainly a bad news story for the GAA, but as you say, actually not a surprising one.
Minister of State for Sports is Jack Chambers. He doesn't believe the incident with Dublin will have an impact now on the return of training later this month.
the GAA now need to investigate it and establish the facts and follow through accordingly. But what I would say is that we've got 32 counties across the country, many of whom aren't training and are waiting for the date of the 19th of April across the GAA, ladies football and Camogie. I think we have to allow that to proceed accordingly, and we need to reinforce the fact that no team should train until they're allowed to do so.
In soccer, Fin Harps manager Ollie Horgan has his star man on the doubtful list for Saturday evening's clash away to Drogheda United. Harps sit top of the table with 2-1s from 2 games, and Dubliner Adam Foley, who has bagged all of Harps' 3 goals to date, may not be lining out, having picked up a knee injury. The Harps boss says the panel is big enough to cope.
We know tonight after training we leave him as late as possible to see he's struggling and didn't train so far this week. So we'll see where he's at tonight, and if it's too big a risk, well then he won't be playing. In fairness, we have a panel, a bigger panel than we normally have had. I've mentioned this before, and with 36 games, you need it. Last year, we probably got away with it because the season was curtailed to 18 games. Look, we'll see. We'll see what he's like. We'd love him to be fit, to put it that way to you, but if he's not right, he's not right.
Real Madrid captain Sergio Ramos looks set to miss both legs off the Champions League quarter-final with Liverpool. He revealed on Instagram he suffered a calf injury in training yesterday. The first match of his last 8 tie is next Tuesday. Fans will return to Wembley later this month for the FA Cup semi-final between Southampton and Leicester. Up to 4,000 people will be selected from the local community rather than the clubs themselves as part of a test event. Supporters haven't been able to attend sports venues in England since the COVID-19 tier system was scrapped in December. In rugby, Marcel Coutts has been voted the Pro 14's player of the season. The Ulster back row was honoured by his fellow professionals. Coutts is in the final weeks at Ulster, his final weeks at Ulster, and will leave for the Bulls in his native South Africa at the end of the season. While Leo Collins made 4 changes to his Leinster side for tomorrow's Heineken Champions Cup last 16 clash with Toulon, Jonathan Sexton is restored at the out half position. Elsewhere, James Lowe, Tadhg Furlong and Ryan Bird will come into the side. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight here on Highland, we'll have more from Brendan Devaney on the Dublin training situation. Plus, we'll hear more from Harps manager Ollie Horgan ahead of their big battle with Drogheda this weekend. And the guest this week joining us on our League of Ireland chat is former Harps captain and current Glentoran player Keith Gowan. Not forgetting as well, Ronan McLaughlin this week secured yet another world record Everstein attempt. We'll be hearing from the Muffman. He'll be telling us all about it on his 76 runs up and down Mamore Gap. That's the score tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. And as it's a Thursday, it's time now for farming news and views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about eco-schemes that are set to deliver extra payments to Donegal farmers. But first this evening, Donegal County Council became the 10th council nationally to support calls for an independent meat regulator this week. Councillor Tom Conaghan tabled a motion in support of the establishment of an independent meat regulator with statutory powers, and he succeeded in getting the backing of the council members at its virtual monthly meeting. John Meehan, the chairman of the Donegal Beef Plan movement, has highlighted the need for a regulator. He points out that there have been peaceful protests and engagement in beef sector negotiations and beef market task force meetings, where the appointment of an independent meat regulator has been brought up for discussion, but little progress has been made. He has stressed that what is needed is a regulator with real powers to get a fair share of the retail price for farmers. Meanwhile, the ICSA has issued a statement on the matter. Its president, Dermot Kelleher, has said that it is now incontestable that the Office of the Food Ombudsman needs to be ramped up with additional legislation to create an effective regulator for the beef chain. Eco-schemes are set to deliver extra money in farm payments to western counties, including Donegal, at the expense of those in the south and east. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, a minimum of 20% of farmers' direct payments will be set aside for eco-schemes, and possibly as much as 30%. Kerry, Donegal and Leitrim will see the biggest increases. Barry Cassidy is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. He's been telling me more.
Ahead of the next CAP in 2023, it's getting closer all the time. I suppose it still feels quite a while away yet, but one of the landmark policies in it will be these eco schemes. And as time has gone on, we've seen more and more detail about them. And I suppose a key detail that has emerged now is that these eco schemes won't be linked to a farmer's existing entitlement value, like greening is now. So for anyone who is aware of their entitlements and the way it's structured, 70% goes towards the BPS and 30% goes for greening, which the majority of farmers, bar some tillage farmers, meet as a default. In the next policy, it won't be the same. 30% or 20% of a farmer's payment will be taken to fund eco-schemes, depending what they decide in Brussels. That's not set yet. So we're dealing on the assumption here now that they set that lower level of 20%. So 20% of every farmer's entitlement will be taken to fund these. But every farmer will only be able to access a flat rate payment, not the actual entitlement value they sent in. So that's the key difference this time around. So what that essentially means is if you have an entitlement that's below the national average, you're going to win as a result of this policy. Whereas if you have an entitlement above the national average, this policy is going to cost you money.
Now, the national average is €260 a hectare. So there'd be quite a number of Donegal farmers who would currently be below that.
Yeah, of course. Look, it's important to stress that we're dealing with averages here, and I suppose the difference between boiling water and freezing water, you know, the average is in there somewhere. But looking at a county level, and that's as close as we can get to these figures to analyse them in any significant way. Say in Donegal, so the average current national average or the current Donegal average is €217, and that's obviously significantly lower than the average of €263. When we remove the 20% for an eco scheme, that will drop to 174. I suppose it's important to say at this point that farmers won't be guaranteed re-access to these eco schemes. There will have to be some measure completed, similar to a GLOS action, to be able to access that flat rate payment of €53 per hectare. So that's important that farmers do actually have to go into these schemes. If they don't, there'll be massive reductions to payments. But assuming that Donegal farmers do get into these schemes on a wide basis, they'll see their payment increase to €227 per hectare, up from €217 per hectare. For the average Donegal farmer, of course, there'll be people above and below that. But on the whole, farmers in the county look set to benefit from this policy.
So the average payment per farm will probably work out several hundred euro more here in Donegal.
Yeah, you're talking about €300 extra for the average payment in Donegal. So that's rising from €6,900 up another €300 or €400 to just in excess of €7,000. So I guess it's a small win. It makes some difference to some people. Obviously, it won't favour others. But look, there's a lot of things still in the flux there. Obviously, if it goes to a 30% ring-fenced eco scheme, you're going to see a lot more of that money moving. And it's essentially what eco schemes will do is accelerate the payment, the flattening of payments that we've seen over the last 5 years through conversion.
We seem to be drip fed the information that's coming out. Is this the case across Europe, or is it just pertaining to Ireland?
Yeah, well, I guess what we're doing here is we're taking figures that we have and details that we have at European level and applying them to Irish payments. It's something that I'm sure is happening in every other European country. I suppose the problem is that the CAP negotiations aren't yet finalised. It would have been hoped that the new CAP would actually have started. We'd be 4 months into it. That was the original timeline. But such was the delays and the complex nature of negotiating these massive policies worth billions of euro. Things have been delayed by 2 years. So we're talking the 2023 start date now. And hopefully, we're talking May or June of this year to see the final shape of the European negotiations. And that sets the basic structure in which everyone will work. So things like convergence, the amount for eco-schemes, will all be set at the EU level. And then the details, such as the measures under eco-schemes, will be set at a national level. And that's where we'll move through in May and June. But I guess finalising the overall reforms at a European and a Brussels level is an important next step that needs to happen.
Broadly speaking, how are the farming organisations greeting this?
I guess there's been some caution around these eco schemes. While I guess it's positive that we're seeing maybe more environmental action, it is important to note that this isn't new money for farmers. It's money that's being taken off existing direct payments. So every farmer receives their direct payment at this moment. Under the next cap, a portion of their direct payment will be subtracted to fund these schemes. I guess it will reward farmers who take on that green environmental action, but they're not being rewarded with extra funds. It's existing money being repackaged and repurposed. So, look, there's a lot of caution around these eco-schemes, and the big unknown, too, is what are the measures and how easy will it be for farmers to get into these schemes, and once they're in their these schemes, to comply with the measures that are in them. Because, as we're all aware from things like GLOSS, there are a certain percentage of farmers that fail inspections every year, and it would probably be no different under an eco scheme. So a farmer that does end up out of pocket of 20 or 30% of the direct payment will be down a significant amount.
In simple terms, do we have any sort of practical examples of what sort of eco schemes will come into place?
So we have some broad overviews, and again, this is coming from a European level. It's not yet been thought of in an Irish context. But things like carbon farming, now that's a very broad church, but one of the major things that could come under carbon farming would be the re-wetting of peatland, which would apply obviously to a lot of western counties. Then you have things maybe like precision farming, and what's precision farming? Again, it's things like nutrient management plans, you know, GPS on fertiliser spreaders, so that you're not wasting nutrients, that you're making the most of these things. Then you're things like talking like high nature value farming, which we're starting to hear a lot more of. And this is kind of like things like semi-natural wildflower meadows, probably things under GLOSS that we've seen already, like low input permanent pasture, wild bird cover, I suppose things that promote biodiversity alongside farming. And then organic farming as well, could fall under these eco-schemes. Yet to see if it will stay where it is under, say, a pillar two and a kind of a more multi-year contract, but the European Union are very keen to increase the rate of organic farming. We've seen their recent action plan is aiming for 25% across the EU. You know, here in Ireland, we're only at 2. Our aim is 8. So it could channel a lot more funds in those directions, but they're the kind of things you're talking about, multi-species swards. But it's a lot more green action than we're used to seeing under a direct payment.
And that was Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, IFA Sheep Chairman Sean Dennehy said the Get Tough policy by the Scottish authorities on dog attacks is in stark contrast to the approach in this country. Scotland has passed legislation that means dog owners can now be fined up to £5,000 or jailed for 6 months. He says that this is the kind of deterrent that's needed if we want to get serious about the issue. The latest report on the implementation of the Control of Dogs Act shows that only 217,000 dogs are licensed out of an estimated 800,000 dogs in the country. And finally, the Heritage Council, in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, has funds available under the Traditional Farm Buildings Grant Scheme. The closing date for online applications is Easter Monday at 5 p.m. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris. The weather forecast for this Thursday evening: cold and dry overnight with long clear spells, breezes becoming light, allowing some mist patches to form, lows of 0 to plus 3 degrees Celsius with a touch of frost in places. Any mist and frost will clear quickly tomorrow morning, leaving a dry, bright day with widespread sunshine in light to moderate northeast breezes. Highs will range from 9 or 10 degrees in the north of Donegal to 13 or 14 degrees in the south. Well, before we go, we've just got confirmation of the COVID-19 numbers for today. We can tell you that 761 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed today in the Republic, with 18 additional COVID-related deaths reported. There were 14 new cases in Donegal. That's down from 31 yesterday. The county now has a 14-day incident rate of 281.4 cases per 100,000 people. Now, that remains higher than the national figure of 164.9. No new COVID-related deaths reported in Northern Ireland today, with 107 new cases confirmed there this afternoon. Other main stories in brief this evening: the Northwest Major Emergency Management Interagency Group is urging people to stay home and stay safe over Easter as the holiday weekend approaches. Gardaí, Donegal County Council and the HSE have issued their joint statement asking the people of Donegal to hold firm for a little longer. Ireland is set to roll out rapid antigen COVID testing. A group in the Department of Health has recommended that Ireland establish pilot programmes in settings such as workplaces and schools. It's hoped it would allow officials identify COVID cases faster and move to suppress it before it becomes a cluster. Four people staying at mandatory quarantine hotels have tested positive so far for COVID-19, and on Highland Radio today, the Taoiseach expressed scepticism at proposals to extend the countries on the quarantine list. We're back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Good evening. the evictions notices for this Thursday evening, the 1st of April. The death has occurred of John Kelly, the new bungalow, Carrick Moor, St Johnson. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Funeral from his late residence on Sunday morning, going to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Anne Ward, née McAteer, Carland Lohr, Kerry Keel. Funeral leaving her late residence on Saturday morning, going to St Columba's Church Massmount for funeral service at 12 noon with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral can be viewed on the St Mary's and St Columba's Massmount Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Dennis McBride, Curramone, Ballybuffet. Funeral will leave his late residence on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for service in the Church of Mary Immaculate's Tronaunor at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The service will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Tronaunor. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the house funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Eileen Conaghan, née Houston, Derryvay Avenue, Letterkenny. Funeral service on Saturday morning at 11 in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by interment in Newleck Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Jim Medlin, funeral director.